here at Fringe Central, it's week zero, but there's nothing zero about the person I'm about to talk to. Gavin Robertson, who took Thunderbirds to the West End, who got five-star reviews aplenty for Word Show. Tell us about Greg Byron.
Greg Byron is my Ziggy Stardust, sadly less well-known, but he's a mask I wear to do spoken word stuff. So about a couple of years ago, I was going to make a solo show, theatre show, and went, no, I'm just too angry about stuff, so I'm going to write poetry instead and talk about plastic pollution and Trump and Brexit, and then other things crept in, memory, science. So it's spoken word stuff. Yeah.
And you created a character then. So why did you create a character and not just step on the stage as Gavin?
Because I wanted to slightly separate my sort of theatre history, I suppose, from this, I suppose, a new strand, I suppose. I think it's quite interesting for me to see who responds to Greg Byron, who doesn't know who Gavin Robertson is. Yeah, and also I made him a character. So he talks in a northern accent, you know, and that gives me the freedom to be maybe a bit more brash than I myself might be.
And what you do, I've seen your show, is you make poetry, you know, accessible to people that wouldn't necessarily go to a poetry show.
Yeah, I mean, it's not misty mountaintops and daffodils, you know. People like John Hegley, John Cooper Clarke, I think they've made poetry accessible, and I suppose I sort of meet in the middle. It's that kind of thing. And it's cathartic. I think I talk about a lot of things that people are worried about, but I do it in a rhyme and with a meter, and we all kind of agree at the end with each other, you know.
Going back a few years, what was it like wearing a Thunderbird on your head?
Heavy. The first ones we had made, I had a Thunderbird 2 on my head, and the engines at the back were made of solid silicon, and because they were so heavy, we had to put a lump of lead in the body of Thunderbird 2, where Thunderbird 5 would probably normally sit, and frankly, it was, yeah, gave me neck ache, but it was fun.
That was a real hit, that show. Tell us a bit about what made it so successful.
Well, I think we sort of we hit on, you know, this nostalgic thing before people realised that nostalgia was a brand, and it was done in the right style. It was a physical theatre piece. It was a comedy. Thunderbirds at that time hadn't been seen on TV for 22 years, and we also mixed up sort of Captain Scarlet and did impressions and walked like puppets. So I think it was just a combination of style and subject matter that just came along at the right time.
And a few years back, you were in a version of 12 Angry Men at the Fringe, directed by Guy Masterson. That was another hit, and it had a lot of very famous people. Not saying you're not famous, but you were among some stars that you might want to drop in here. Yeah. But you're back at the Fringe as well with a Guy Masterson show that's also got a bunch of people in it.
It has, yeah. And it's, you know, he's quite open about the fact that the formula for this piece is based on 12 Angry Men. It's about the night Marilyn Monroe died, so it's seven people in a room discussing what might have happened. And it's a fact that she died, or the ambulance arrived at 11 o'clock at night, and they didn't call the police till gone 4 in the morning. So the premise of the play is, so what did these people talk about? What was there to talk about if it was a straightforward suicide? So yes, it's claustrophobic, it's good fun. We've got Susie Amy, who's you might know her from Footballers' Wives. We've got Ollie Farmsworth, who's done Coronation Street, and I think five of us. Yeah, it's an ensemble piece. It's good fun. We debate what happened, and tempers are lost, and reasons are thrown around, and there's a conclusion at the end, which I think is perfectly plausible, so that might surprise you.
No spoilers here, but as an actor that's been in those sorts of shows, and here you are in one again, but also has done a lot of solo work, do you enjoy them equally?
There's a leading question. I would say, I mean, we haven't started with this yet, so, you know, it might be fun to see what the answer is in 3 weeks' time. I like being in an ensemble. That's nice. It's good to have the support. It's fun when it's working. It's easier, I think. I like the control of being on my own. I think I respond to that a little bit better, but they are very different. And one, you know, I'm playing a part and learning lines, and the other one I'm reading and sharing my own thoughts and my own lines. So they are chalk and cheese in that sense.
What can you say... because you're also a physical theatre performer, and I've seen work that you've done that's been completely silent. What can you say through silent movement that you can't say, or you say differently through spoken word as theatre, and also spoken word as live theatre, you know, poetry?
Well, I think what we have when we speak with words is we're able to... explain concepts. For example, you know, you can explain when you're talking, you know what mother-in-law means. You can do mother-in-law. You can't do mother-in-law without words, because it needs the body of text to encapsulate the thought. I think physical theatre, words, theatre without words, might go slightly more immediately to your emotions rather than your, you know, your logical brain. And that's, I think that's an essential and an interesting difference.
Your show, Word Show, is kind of stand-up too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of poetry meets stand-up. It's sort of banter. Some of it's quite poignant. I do poems about memory, which, you know, I've got people sniffing in the audience a bit. But other stuff is just, you know, it's angry or it's sardonic or it's wry. That's quite a good word. Quite a lot of wry stuff. But yeah, the scary stuff for me when I started wasn't doing the poetry. It's what you say to an audience in between poems. You know, you've got to engage with them on a personal level. So what is it that you do? What is it you say that get them to like you, want to hear what you've got to say next?
What was your most difficult, challenging time and your most joyful, happiest time in Edinburgh? You come here a lot. What were the highs and lows?
12 Angry Men would be a high. I didn't drop names in, but I will now. People like Phil Nichol, Bill Bailey, Stephen Frost.
And Gavin Robertson.
Andy Smart, Stephen First as well. Kev Eldon, people will know from TV. That was fun. Dave Johns, who's since gone on to star in I, Daniel Blake, of course, and now has a film career. That was great fun, just to be with 12 people and the crew and have a good old time. And it was a lively debate, even on stage during the show. That would be a high. Thunderbirds was a high, actually the first thing I ever brought, but that was a high at the time. And also, The Fringe was new, so you've got all the excitement of being a Fringe virgin in that particular experience. I was here in 2012 with a solo show called Crusoe. That's a show that's very dear to my own heart, but so I guess that was a high for personal reasons. But The Fringe is not all about ticket sales and, you know, agents popping in and, you know, the hope of fancy foreign bookings. It's about who you engage with and your own sense of well-being, your own sense of purpose, I think.
A little taster, a quick poem.
Dear America, you owe us an apology. You gave us canned applause and Scientology. Without the War of Independence, you'd still be our descendants. But right now, frankly, you can beep.
Now, where did that come from?
The depths of my imagination.
That was a bit of Greg, though, wasn't
that? That was a bit of Greg, yeah. I sort of meandered between me and Greg. But, yeah, that's a quick sort of throwaway one. And I think a lot of people feel like that about America at the moment. So it
but
gets.
Do you just jump into your notebook? Does it come to you immediately? Do you sit down to write poetry?
Well, yeah, timely question. I arrived at Edinburgh yesterday and was sitting having a coffee. And I thought, I was thinking about time travel because I like science and I do a section in the show about science. And I thought, oh, I've got the words travel and unravel came to me. And I thought, right, I've got it. So I've written a new one. I've written a time traveler poem that I will do for this year's Fringe, which I wrote yesterday. So, yeah, fun.
And where's the show happening?
It's in the Assembly Rooms in the Bailey Room. That's in the hall halfway down the mound in Edinburgh at 8:05 every evening.
And finally, then, what's your invitation for people to come?
To my show?
Yeah.
Oh, my invitation. Well, look, you know, put your reservations about poetry aside. Think of it more like comic stand-up in rhyme and you might actually enjoy it.
Gavin Robertson, Ucker, Greg Byron, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.